Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Oh, Mom, do I have to pick all this stuff up now? Whined 12-year-old Tim. Can't I just do it when I get back from the ball game? Young man, his mother began, eerily hearing her own mother's words come out, just how do you think you're going to find anything in that mess? Don't worry, Mom, I know where everything is. I have a system, Tim replied. Just don't touch anything. Well, then, could you please use your system and return the laundry hamper? I've been looking for it for days, and I realized I put your clean laundry in it last week.
Could I give it to you later? It's probably under a few things. Don't worry, I'll give it back. I'll go through all my stuff tonight or maybe tomorrow. I'll get to it.
Tim, his mom gave him a look. Maybe this job has gotten too big for one person. How would you like some help? From a parent's perspective, how can we help our kids finally get organized? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today specializes in helping adolescents and adults get organized. Sandy Maynard is a personal performance coach who also lectures nationally on ADHD coaching, time management, and organizational skills. She operates her business, Catalytic Coaching, to provide entrepreneurial consulting and coaches training for people who are starting businesses of their own in organization and coaching. Sandy specializes in coaching adolescents and adults with ADHD. She has a 24-year-old son. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Ms. Maynard.
Well, it's nice to be here. Thank you.
It seems like there are kids and grown-ups who are more naturally orderly and others who seem always in chaos. Are there certain characteristics that bode well for being more organized?
Well, that's certainly true. Some of us are just naturally more organized than others. We often think that left-brain linear people tend to be more organized and right-brain abstract creative people tend to be more disorganized or more chaotic with their surroundings. That's not necessarily true. And it does stem from biology. Mothers will say, you know, this child was completely different from the other child right from the beginning, right from the time they were born, they were different. And so there is a biological component to that, especially with ADHD. It's neurobiological, it's hereditary, and chronic disorganization is often one of those symptoms of ADHD that's presented. ADHD is a condition that is inherited, and the three main symptoms of ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, are inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity. There are other conditions that can mimic it. For example, some of my adult clients who are depressed are very forgetful and very disorganized while, you know, because they're depressed.
But for the rest of us, in terms of how we look at things, in terms of being organized or disorganized, are there certain guideposts that we can say, well, clearly, this is a kid who's not seeing things in an organized way.
Right. They are more abstract, usually, and less linear. There's a test that they do where you put a ball in the center of a circle, and you put lots of objects all around the ball. And then you ask the participants to take each object that they can relate to that red ball and put it in the middle of the circle. Now, a normal person will probably pick three or four of the objects and put them in the center. A person who tends to be a little less organized and a little less linear or sequenced or left brain will practically take all of those objects and put them in the middle of the circle because they can see a relationship to the object and the ball in the middle of the circle.
They think way outside the box, so they come up with creative relationships, right?
Right. So when I'm doing, teaching a student how to set up a filing system for their classwork papers, they have a very hard time deciding which category to put it in. This is my syllabus and my assignment. Do I put it in with my history papers, or should I put it with the section in the back for the term paper? You know, where do I put this? With adults, it's like they have a Blue Cross Blue Shield paperwork that they've received in the mail. Should I put it in this category with the Blue Cross Blue Shield, but I use it for taxes? You know, should I put it in with my taxes? You know, where should I put it? They can think of too many ways to relate that piece of paper to other things and too many categories. So it's confusing for them.
How can we help our kids build the skills then that will help them become more organized? Obviously, there are some sets of skills that would be helpful.
Right, right. It's never too early to start to help a child find a place for everything and put everything in its place and explain to them the logic of that. You know, there's a reason why we put our pots and pans down in the cupboard below. They're heavy. We don't want to pull them out of the top of a cupboard and drop them on our head. So when you're walking a child through, you know, setting up their closet or setting up their drawers, you know, you want to explain to them why we're putting this all together, because we use it together. You know, the heavy pants and the heavy sweaters, if we put the heavy pants on one side of the drawer and the heavy sweaters on the other side of the drawer, you know, then we'll open up one drawer to put on our stuff for that day, because chances are it's a cool day. You know, teaching a child to hang their pajamas on the back of a door, they use them every day. You want them out and readily available. Or if they're picking up their toys, when children are very little, we tend to pick up for them and to explain to them where you're going to put the toys, back in the toy box, so we don't step on them, so we don't, hurt ourselves or trip over them, to give them a reason why. Lots of moms like to bake cookies with their children, and by the time they've got the cookies out of the oven, you know, they're exhausted. Yeah, there's one more step to that process of baking cookies, and that's putting your flour back in the cupboard and your sugar away and cleaning up the kitchen. And that's the step busy families sometimes miss when we're, you know, showing our children how to do things around the house, is to, you know, put it back where it belongs, so the next time we'll know where it is. So it'll be easier to get going to bake the cookies, because things are where they're supposed to be.
we put away our cooking toys. We put away our car washing toys or our kind of equipment.
What about visual cues when you're teaching children to build skills? What I'm thinking of is, I grew up in a home with a lot of artists and writers and that kind of business, and I'm wondering, is that a help for kinds of kids who don't necessarily think in a linear way?
It certainly is. One of my clients has this really cute little picture on the bathroom right by the toilet, and it's got a picture of a person hanging up the towel, and it's got a picture of the person, you know, putting the toothbrush back and flushing the toilet and doing all the things that we should do before we leave the bathroom. A very distracted child, you know, might just zip out of the bathroom without flushing the toilet, leaving the towel on the floor, things like that. And that is a good visual reminder for these children. They glance at it while they're there in the bathroom and say, yep, got to hang my towel up before I leave the room.
What about colored bins or things that jump out at you in terms of color,
shape,
or something?
You know, red for if it's important, green for if it's involved with money. You might want to pick a color that's very comforting for you to put your personal memorabilia in. We respond to different colors differently. And if you've got something in a bright orange container, you know, that may be the container that there's things in it that you need to do, a jacket that needs to have a button sewn on or whatever. You know, I suggest to do clipboards, because if it's paperwork, you can clip it right onto the clipboard, and once it's filled out and stamped and in the mail, it's gone and it's off the clipboard, and you can keep a little to-do list underneath it too.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on helping kids get organized.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors, and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Sandy Maynard about helping kids get organized.
Sandy and I kept our records very differently when our children were little, and I think it's very telling because we know our differences. She has probably to this day a big calendar in the kitchen, and each person in the family has a different colored ink.
Right.
So the pink one, if the one who's pink is going to the dentist, it'll be written in pink on the calendar, or brown or blue or green, whereas I write the initial, you know, C to dentist, B to doctor, whatever. And it's very obvious how we each think.
Yeah. One mother took that even one step further and asked each kid their favorite colors, you know, and the school bag was purple for one kid, and the towels were purple for that same child, and the purple items were theirs. So that, you know, if they glanced at the hallway and didn't see the purple bag, they knew they had to go back to the room and find it.
That's really good.
Is there a good age or developmental stage to begin helping kids to organize their personal environments?
Yeah, once they're old enough to, like, stand up and carry a toy around, they're old enough to really bring it over to the toy box. You know, maybe mommy has to open the cover and they can drop it in. But to start that early is not too early. When they start to get older, you'll expand on different kinds of systems, obviously, and different kinds of chores they have to do around the house that are more specific. But to just start with putting away your toys.
It seems to me at a young age, children love containers, and especially large ones because they want to carry things around and use those large muscles and all that.
Right.
So, and I remember things with lids sometimes were particularly of interest to kids, that kind of business.
My son had a little shopping basket, and he put all his toys in that, you know, and then he'd wheel it to his room. And then when he wanted to play with his toys, he'd wheel it back out into the playroom and play with it. If they were toys that weren't in his toy box.
That's a good idea. What areas of a child's life are most susceptible to organization? Are there certain things that we can say to ourselves, all right, well, we can tackle that right off the bat?
Yeah. With kids, it's obviously toys, and with school-age children, it's their toys, their clothing, and their schoolwork. And then with adults, it's mostly paperwork. Usually when I work with an adult, that's where we start with is the office.
Do you recommend that a child's study area, for example, for a school-age child, mm-hmm. be in a different part of the house than the area with the toys, or a different part of the room? Do you recommend some kind of separation?
You know, with a small-age child, usually the place they like to study is the dining room table where they're next to mom when mom's cooking supper. So if that is the place, if they don't have a separate study area in the home, like in the rooms, which, you know, some of my clients, they have these wonderful little areas set up in the room to study at, yet the dining room table is where they go. Mm-hmm. And if that's where they go, then near the dining room table should be a place to store their books and their papers and what they need for school. One of my clients went out and bought one of these modules with cupboards and file cabinets, and the cupboard had three different shelves for the three different children, and then the file drawer had three different sections with three different color folders.
So it's sort of too much to expect the child to be doing his work in the dining room, take it up to his room and put it away.
Most kids won't. And that's where the problem is. Busy families today, you know, by the time supper's over, it's late enough as it is, and there are school activities. And when we run short on time, I suggest systems that are dumping systems, bins. You know, if you don't have time to, you know, go to a different part of the house and hang it up, you could have a bin in the doorway where you could put it and collect it until Saturday morning. And Saturday morning might be pickup time, where you go to the bin and you pick it up and you put it back in your room. Part of this shelf system that this one client set up was really for her housekeeper. Her housekeeper would come along and she'd pick up all the different little things that she saw and put them on each kid's shelf. And then it was the child's responsibility sometime during that week to go to their shelf, put back what came from the room, and then file any school papers that they needed to file in the drawer below.
I think your mention of pickup time, Saturday morning or Thursday night or whatever it might be, is really a great idea.
Yeah. There needs to be a time for that. I grew up at a time where, you know, I had a stay-at-home mom, and I remember every spring was spring cleaning and every fall was fall cleaning, and that's when we spent the whole weekend going through our closets, you know, trying on the clothes to see what fit and what didn't fit and who, what was going to be handed down to who and what was going to go to cousin so-and-so. And busy families, they don't have the time to take a whole weekend to do that. Yet that's important. That's important to stay on top of things and reduce the amount of clutter in your home. And when that's not being done, when a child gets to a certain age, if they're not already used to looking at a toy or a book or a game to give away to a cousin or to bring down to the Salvation Army or to give to the church or the synagogue, they're more likely to be more cluttered later on in life because it hasn't been a habit for them already.
It sounds like doing these things all along the way at some regular marked periods of time
right.
would reduce stress levels among all family members.
I think so. I mean, and sometimes it's kind of fun to do. I mean, you start going through old closets and things that haven't been gone through in a long time, and you find some really neat memorabilia you want to keep. I worked with a teenager once, and I had a very difficult time working with her because she wanted to keep everything. You know, everything was important to her. You know, it wasn't one favorite stuffed animal. It was all her stuffed animals. Unfortunately, they didn't live in a home with a big attic or a big basement. You know, it's different in the country. If you have a big old barn, you can, you know, you can put it out in the barn and keep it there if you don't want to let go of it. But if you don't have the attic space or the basement space to do that, you really do have to look at what you have and decide what is the most meaningful to you and the most important to you that you want to keep as memorabilia, and what's just junky little things that can be given away.
And how did you work with this child to help her relinquish things that she really didn't need?
We took a look at her closet space, and when I got there, half of it was being used for her stuffed animals and baby blankets, etc. So we talked about what she would remember most and why. You know, there were some items that were given to her that were not from special people or she didn't particularly like, so we were able to define what we could weed away. We looked at the space she had available and said, we've got to cut this down by 50% to make room for some other things we're going to put in there. And so basically she had to look at all of it and decide 50%. You know, because she was limited by the space. Someone else, I would have suggested storing the ones that weren't the favorites in the basement or the attic and just keeping those favorite ones in a room.
How do kids' needs for being orderly change as they get older? Are there different kinds of things that we need to look for as the kids get older?
Right. I think as they get older, it's a matter of instilling in them taking care of what they have and having their environment really reflect who they are. I worked with a young woman who jokingly said, my room's a fire hazard. And at least I thought she was joking. When I got there, I found out I was called in because she wasn't joking. It was a fire hazard. If she had to get out of her room, she might not have been able to open up her door fast enough because there was so much stuff on the floor. So with her, I talked a great deal about having her room and her environment reflect who she is, and that worked very well with her. She's a very competent individual, a very good student, a very well-liked individual, and she had a personal flair for fashion and always looked great. I mean, she always looked great in her clothes. And wouldn't it be nice if your room looked as great as you present yourself? Because she was a young woman that meant something to her, and she was more motivated to clean up her room and know where things is. When she got done, she was so excited because somebody came in and asked her for the latest catalog, and she went right over to the stack of catalogs, picked it out, and gave it to them, and they said, whoa, you've changed.
Cute.
It was really cute to see. She was very proud of the fact that she could find things once she got a system that worked for her. Now, some people, when you put their things away in the dressers, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and they don't know where it is. So those plastic bins and drawer systems are better for those kinds of individuals. One young man I worked with was very much into computers, and he wasn't a clothes hog. He didn't have a lot of clothes in his dresser, and when I asked him what was in his dresser, he couldn't tell me without opening the drawers and looking, because for him it was out of sight, out of mind. So we asked his mom if we could move the dresser up to the attic. She said, sure, do anything you want to do as long as that room's organized. And we took his dresser out. We put his clothes in three laundry baskets, one for his pants, one for his shirts, one for his underwear, and then over in the other corner he had the dirty laundry clothes basket. And his closet we made into a computer parts warehouse. We put shelves in the side of it, and he put all his cords on one shelf, all his boards on one shelf, you know, all the different computer parts. I mean, he organized that himself. Now, this is a man whose room was chaos. It was dangerous to walk in, you know. I mean, there was stuff all over the floor, and it was really a mess. But once he got into the computer parts and had a place for them to put them, he got very excited about, you know, throwing out the old ones that didn't work anymore and organizing it.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on helping kids get organized.
For an audio cassette copy of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Sandy Maynard about helping kids get organized. It sounds very clear from the examples you've given that helping kids get organized really involves identifying their individual needs. Each child is different and has different needs and can get excited about organizing and pulling it together if you can work on it that from that angle.
Right, right. One little boy I worked with had baseball caps like you wouldn't believe. He had every kind of baseball cap you'd ever want. And they were all over the room. And so that's when I noticed that first, that's what I started to work with him. You know, the desk was a mess. There were papers all over. The drawers were, you know, half open with clothes spilling out. It was your typical teenage room or a preteen room. And this young man, once we said, now let's collect all the hats and get them all together. We're going to find a really nice place to display them. And we got one of those hat things for the wall with the little hooks on it so that all the hats were up on the wall. One whole wall was all hats. The rest of the room was a mess. It was a mess. But his hats were all organized. That got him excited and motivated about doing the rest of the room, really, because we did such a nice job on the hats.
So we need to back off a little bit and say, where should I start with this child?
Right.
Not go clean your room like I did when my son was, I don't know how old he was, maybe 7 or 8. And I said, here's a trash bag. I want you to go up to your room and just put the trash in this bag and call me when you're done. And he called me 10 minutes later. And I thought, he couldn't possibly have gotten squared away by now. I went upstairs. Everything that was out in his room was in the trash bag, including his stamp collection, his chess set, everything else.
Oh, my goodness.
Was in the trash bag, and the trash bag was in the closet. And I said, where's the trash? He said, everything's put away. Don't worry. I'll throw out the trash later. He was done. He didn't want to have to do the sorting part. And it sounds like you're helping the kids target how to do that.
And I usually do start with what's important to them, whether it be little ballerina figurines that are jewelry boxes or whatever. We get them excited about finding a place for them so that you can see them, so that they're out, so that they're pretty, so that they're not, you know, covered with undershirts and bathrobes and whatnot.
Are there other rules of thumb that parents should keep in mind when they're tackling this? Obviously, the first is know your kid and start with something that's really important to the child. Are there any other rules of thumb that would apply across the board?
Yes, give them a deadline. Start with a deadline. You know, it needs to be done by this time. That way, if they want to go to the baseball game first, they can do that first and then do the cleaning afterwards. A lot of parents start with, you're not going to the baseball game until you get your room cleaned. Give them a deadline. Know that there's a consequence for not meeting that deadline. It's okay to say, if you're not going to do it, I will be doing it for you. You know, you're the parent and you are in charge. Does that help? Well, it gets it clean, but it doesn't teach the child how to do it. You know, doing it with them is probably better. You know, let's put this here because this makes sense. Does it make sense to you, though? That's an important question. Does it make sense to you? Some kids have come up with some very unique systems, like they put all their socks in a wastebasket. That makes sense to them. The wastebasket is by the bed where they sit to put on their socks. They don't have to walk across the room to their sock drawer.
Thank you, Sandy. What resources would you suggest for our listeners to pursue all of this further?
Well, there's a great organization called the National Association of Professional Organizers. They have a website at www.napo.net. If your child has attentional problems and their disorganization is due to that, you probably want to check out Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder. Their website is www.napo.net. chadd.org. There's another organization that caters more to adults with organizational problems and adolescents, and that's www.add.org. That's the National Attention Deficit Disorder Association.
Well, now we all have some food for thought to begin to get organized, and we can help our kids begin as well. Our special thanks to you, Sandy Maynard, for your helpful suggestions and understanding. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show 194. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.